welcome everyone to our first Claim Your Power post-seminar call. And I know I'm still getting a lot of emails, so I appreciate all the input and feedback from you guys. Sounds like some people had a magnificent breakthrough or multiple breakthroughs during the weekend, and someone who had a great impact on the weekend, even though they weren't with us, but through her teaching and through the great work that she did before the event, and has graciously agreed to visit with us here for the next couple of weeks after the event. Just phenomenally productive in her own life, and now has become a great teacher, and is you know, I value and cherish the friendship I have with her. I've known her for probably 4 or 5 years now, and have watched her as she has created a magnificent empire. I just want to tell you, Laurel, how much I appreciate you being with us. We knew you were with us in spirit in Atlanta, and Carl did a phenomenal job, an outstanding job, and I think everyone on the call would agree that he was absolutely invaluable in what he provided. So we didn't get you, but we got a great person in, you know, anyway, and we're just excited to have you on the call tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here, and excited actually for the next 3 weeks. We have so much to do. So, Victor, let me just take off and go. And
take off. That's what you normally do. I just have to kind of try to keep up, but, yep, take off.
All right. So hopefully a lot of you have not only heard about The Millionaire Maker, but actually read The Millionaire Maker book. And on Tuesday, I just have to say this, it was so exciting. We were on the second page of the USA Today money section, like the whole half of the page was me with, of course, my mouth open, because that's usually how it is, speaking at a seminar. It was so exciting. We finally got some really big national press with USA Today. And the whole, you know, concept of what we're doing with The Millionaire Maker is truly making millionaires. I know there's enormous amount of programs who talk about, you know, becoming a millionaire, how to do it. But, you know, if you really look at those plans, they're 20-year plans, they're 30-year plans, and I don't know about the rest of you on the call, but I don't want to wait that long, and I don't want to do it in a slow, restrictive style. And what I mean by that is most programs say, you know, you should go get out of debt, go get organized, and, you know, once you're kind of all set up, then let's go make some money. We're completely opposite of that. And, you know, if you were to talk to me, even like Vic, when you and I first met, I actually was, you know, still subscribing to that a little bit because I didn't know there was a different way. And as we've made millionaires, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, we have just ramped it into huge gear. We're making millionaires in 3 to 5 years. I have my first millionaire that came in just over 6 months. I mean, that is like rock star status. And this was a doctor who just said, I'm done with the medical system. I'm done with Medicare. I'm done with insurance. And I'm going to do it completely different. He read my book. He called in. He came to my mentor program and dumped his entire medical practice to go be a developer builder and just did it right. And so it's just interesting because our whole model, again, isn't in this restrictive go, you know, live, get out of debt, live on a budget. I think budgets are like diets. No one's doing them anyway, so let's just skip that. And our whole model is let's go help you make money. And I know that sounds obvious, like a lot of programs say go make money, but not in the way I think we say it. We say go build a cash machine. And yes, that's an entrepreneurial venture that takes the skill set you have, and with that skill set, we're going to help you make more money than you ever made before. We're going to help you then keep that money home by activating one of the greatest tax structures in the country, you know, actually in the U.S., tax structure is far better than infrastructure, but principally based, you know, there's tax structures you can follow in any country. So as you make the money, you want to keep the money. And then clearly our goal is that you learn to invest. And then again, that's another part of our model. So, you know, a lot of people say go invest, but no one ever shows you how. And we actually do show you how by showing you how to buy apartment buildings, to cash flow houses, to pre-construction, to gas and oil. You buy businesses. And as clients, you actually get to participate in all of these very direct and very different kind of assets that produce a 20 to 30% portfolio. Very, very different. So with all that said, you know, my question to you, if I was on stage with you, and I'm sure Carl asked it, which is, are you really, really ready to be a millionaire? And are you really ready to do it in 3 to 5 years? Because what that will take is for you really changing the way you behave with money and the way that you surround yourself. I mean, you couldn't be at a better event, because I know the kind of quality of people that, you know, Vic, you have in your database and command around you. And what a great opportunity for all of you to be around the kind of people who are going to support you to do the kind of plan that we're going to talk about tonight and then over the next 2 weeks. And the way that I want to spend our time is I want to spend our time really tonight setting the stage for what is a millionaire plan. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of homework on setting up the plan. And then next week when we're back, we're going to talk about the cash machine side, which is how you can make more money. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about the investment side. So that's going to give you a little curriculum and how we're going to work together to get this all accomplished. And my intent in the next 3 weeks over our 3 hours together is that you really, you know, put the actions that we say into place, get your gap analysis, that's what we call the plan, get your cash machine thoughts together, think about how you want to do some assets, and then Vic and I have some different, you know, special things that we're going to offer you to start, you know, moving your plan forward. So is that a good thing, Vic? Anything else I want to add?
That's pretty good. That's a good place to start.
All right. So let's talk about if you have a piece of paper, you want one. If you don't have a piece of paper, I'd run and get one really quick with a pen and paper, because I have lots to share, and the more notes you can take and write down, the more the homework will make some sense, okay? All right, so that gives you a little bit of time. So rush, get paper. Here's what I want to say. If you have the book, you know what a gap analysis is. If you don't have the book, here's what a gap analysis consists of. On a piece of paper, what I want you to do is I want you to write down on the bottom of the paper my financial baseline. At the top of the paper, I want you to write my financial freedom day. Now, here's your two homework assignments, because I'm just going to talk through what it is, and then you're going to get this together for next week. The baseline is essentially your profit and loss statement and your balance sheet. And so for some of you that are really new to the financial language, what we mean is I want you to, all your income and all your expenses makes up your profit and loss. So on the left-hand corner of your piece of paper in the bottom, I want you to write down your income and your expenses. And for some of you who have personal and business, you'd write down both incomes. I have my personal income, my business income, and then right below it, you're going to write down your personal and your business expenses. If it's just you personally, then you just write down your personal stuff. All right, so now on the left-hand corner, you should have your income and expenses. On the right-hand corner, I want you to write your assets and liabilities, which are the components of a balance sheet. Okay? So all of your assets and all of your liabilities. Now, part of your homework over the next week is to look at the assets and qualify them. And this is some stuff that's coming from my new book, which just got submitted and went to press today. Whew, it's good to get that off my plate, which is I want you to classify them as ABC assets. And what we mean by that is A assets are investable assets now. So say you have money in the market that's just not performing and you're really just sick of that animal called the market, and you're willing to move that money. It's 401k money in from old jobs, not currently active 401ks. So if you work for somebody else and they have a profit-sharing plan or 401k, you can move that over. It's cash, it's savings, it's money that you really would like to get working at in double-digit returns, 12, 15, 20, you know, 30% returns. So that's A money. A money is available now. B money is available in 60 days or less, and C money is available in 60 days or more. And what we find is that the more organized you are with knowing what money you have available, the better planning you'll do to put that money to work. So again, right now it's just homework, not asking you to do anything, but just write down and classify, you know, where's your income, where's your expenses, where's your assets, and then the fourth part of the right-hand bottom corner is your liabilities. Meaning, you know, again, this is a very new concept for a lot of people, is when I look at liabilities, which is the amount of money you owe other people, I'm only looking at bad debt. Now, bad debt is credit card debt that was for your lifestyle. You bought a boat, You really don't use it. It's sitting in the garage. You bought an RV. It's sitting on the side of your house. I would offload those, go lease them. Every time you rent or lease one of those, you can get a brand new one. You don't have all the maintenance, the taxes, all of the maintenance costs. If you use it on a regular basis, that's different. It is, you had to go shoe shopping. You just overdid your lifestyle, and it had nothing to do with you making more money. Now, here's a real big caveat. Some of you, especially having come to, Claim Your Power Now workshop, are wanting to do new ventures, and you're wanting to make more money in your life, and you're wanting to do that. So maybe you went out and you bought, an extra computer and phone system for your new assistant you're going to get. Maybe you put some marketing dollars to work. Maybe sign up for another program that's going to help you with some internet marketing or, some sort of leadership. Maybe you're, signing up for ours, for those of you who have. But I would consider that all education and assets and education to get, your business started or equipment to get your business started. So in your credit cards, I want you to look at what's truly business debt or a debt, that, where you, I say it's almost business capitalization is a better way to say it. Money that you're spending on yourself via education, equipment, marketing services, sales services, things that you want that as long as it helps your business grow, you're going to make that money back. So I don't consider that bad debt. I don't consider mortgages bad debt, and I don't consider cars bad debt. Cars are a business expense. Mortgages, you shouldn't be paying off all those houses anyway. And the only thing we're really looking at is bad lifestyle debt. So come next week to the call with all that classified. Okay? Please have four homeworks: income, expenses, assets, liabilities, and qualify them. See, one of the things, the more organized you are, and millionaires are organized, the better you can make decisions. So the first homework is just, come organized with, what's, doesn't have to be down to the penny, but just have a sense of what you have. Now, at the top of the page, I want you to write down, again, what I call Financial Freedom Day. We don't call it retirement because when people retire, they die. And when people retire, they associate the retirement to the age of, in their 60s, 65. And again, I've had Freedom Day since I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and, pretty much create a new Freedom Day every year. And here's how I qualify it. Your Freedom Day is the day you have the want-to life instead of the have-to life. Meaning, you get to do what you want to do versus what you have to do. Now, that doesn't have to do anything with the amount of time you spend doing what you do. Like, there's a huge myth that when you become rich, you just don't do anything, and you just, go golfing all day or, hanging out all day. I don't see that any further from the truth, from the standpoint of, you saw some of the greats on stages. Bob Proctor's in his early 70s, and, Vic, you know this too. That man has a busier schedule than most people in their 20s. And if you ask Bob, he wouldn't be doing anything else. Jim Rohn wouldn't be doing anything else. I wouldn't be doing anything else. Vic, you wouldn't be doing anything else. And we clearly live what I call the want-to life. That doesn't mean that we have these casual, quiet, lifestyles. Look at Warren Buffett. He's in his 80s. The guy's like, buying businesses around the clock. Bill Gates, Michael Dell still goes to his office. The difference when you live a want-to life is you're living on purpose. And you're doing the thing you want to do. And you want to get up in the morning and you want to do the things you're doing. And I think a lot of people have a have-to life. So when I have you set your Freedom Day goals, not your retirement goals, because it has nothing to do with age, freedom means when I have enough money that I really can start doing the want-to life. So the way that I want you to look at that is for every $1 million that you want or need to create that want-to life, invest it at 12%. So $1 million invested at 12% is $120,000. When you divide that by 12 months, you have $10,000 a month. So for every $1 million goal, you should be planning to have $10,000 a month in cash flow. And if you don't know how to invest that way, you're on the right phone call. Especially session 3 of this call, in 3 weeks, when I really go over how do you create these extraordinary portfolios. And we truly can create portfolios of, 30, 20, 30, 40%, depending on how you choose to do it. And when you really get good at it, you'll get infinite returns. It's just amazing what the wealthy do to create money, and we've never been taught about it. So don't feel bad that you don't know how to do it yet. I didn't know how to do it, until years ago. And it's time for everybody to know. I think access for everybody is really a big part of our message. Everybody has the ability to get wealthy in their life. Okay, so Freedom Day. You want to be worth $5 million? Your cash flow goal should be $50,000 a month. If you're setting goal for $7 million, then it's $70,000 a month. Now, when you get to $10 million or more, we really change the way you structure your life because, you know, $10 million would be $100,000 a month. And I know a lot of people who live on $100,000 a month. So you'll end up with a huge tax problem, actually. So when you start heading towards, you know, goals of $8, $9, $10 million, then we just really structure things differently and we do them in a more sophisticated way. So I want you right now, with your pen and paper, it's the first time you've ever done it, you can change your mind tomorrow. I want you to write down your goal. Like, do you want $1 million? Do you want to be worth $5 million? And think about how much monthly cash flow that is. So what that cash flow is intended to do is really allow you the freedom and the time to do what you want to do, the way you want to do it. So maybe you want to build a business that's different. Maybe you want to, you know, do certain things in politics or do certain, you know, teaching or charities. But that asset goal is huge. So I want you to write that down. Change your mind tomorrow. You can change your mind next week. But I think a lot of times, a lot of people, they just don't write down that big vision. All right, so now on your piece of paper, you should have where you are in the bottom, where you want to go in the top. Now, here's what I want you to start thinking about, is what do you really want to create in your life as a cash machine? Now, let me explain that a little bit. In our model, a cash machine is the thing that's going to make you money. Now, it's not the asset column. It's not that $1 million invested to make $10,000. A cash machine is like, it's, you know, it's our coaching, you know, company. It's, you know, Vic's internet company. It's, I have a woman yesterday I was working with who has a scrapbooking and photography business. And I said, well, is it really a business? It's really, it was a hobby. I said, well, do you make any money doing it? Oh, no, I couldn't charge my friends. I said, well, let's just say that you were going to, you know, make a scrapbook for me. As all of you know, part of the reason I wasn't there is I'm expecting, and now about 6.5 weeks. So she's, you know, I said, so what if I had you make a new whole baby, like, first year scrapbook for my little girl coming? Oh, well, I would just do that because I like you. I said, no, charge me some money. Like, how much would you charge? Oh, I'd have no idea. And I find so many people do this where they have a skill, they do something brilliant, and they don't charge for it, or they charge too little. Women tend to do that the most. So my homework to her is, I told her, go Google scrapbooking. I said, it's one of the largest, fastest-growing industries in America today. It's a $2.6 billion industry. It's shocking. I said, people charge anywhere from $3 to $10 a page just to put a scrapbook together. I said, so, you know, calculate a 20-page scrapbook at $10 a page. How much? She's like, oh, I could never charge that much money. And I thought, oh, boy, do we have work on your psychology to do. So anyway, I share that because that's one of many, you know, examples of cash machines. I have teachers who have become tutors. I have people who love gardening have landscaping companies. I have people who love animals have now dog walking companies. Or here's another fun one that one of my clients just did. They do a mobile grooming company where they, you know, drive up to people's homes and they have a contract with them that, you know, every so often, whatever the schedule is that the client buys, they'll come and as long as they have a water hookup and electric hookup in the driveway or in their, you know, area where the client wants, they will groom the animal, the cat, dog, whatever, you know, animal they have. So there's so many ways, and by the way, that client's 19 years old. So it doesn't matter how old you are. Like that mobile grooming company is in a very wealthy area where the 19-year-old lives, and he easily could grow that up, get a whole bunch of people working for him with a whole bunch of vans, and make that $1 million company. So when we talk about building a cash machine, this isn't just a couple pennies a year. We're talking about let's make some money. Let's make an extra $100,000. Let's make an extra $200,000. See, $100,000 is a $400 day. So if you made $400 a day, 5 days a week, you'd make an extra $100,000 a year. Last I checked, that's double what average Americans make across the country. Average income across the country is less than $50,000. So, you know, what we're teaching is let's live this bigger, expanded lifestyle. I mean, you all have a thing you do to make money. You all have a way that you've done it. And by putting extra money to work, you handle so many of your other life issues. you handle the debt issues. You just get rid of your debt faster. Let's go to the other side. By investing your money for more cash flow, you handle other issues. So, for example, let me give you a story. In the first chapter of the Millionaire Maker book, and all of those stories, the seven stories in that book, they're all true. We took a family who made $96,000 together, or $97,000, something like that, and he made 66. Actually, he made 66, she made 30, so they made $96,000. And they had a whole bunch of debt. And for 25 years, they lived in a place in Northern California where about every 3 to 5 years, they would take the equity out of their house and pay down all their debt. That's a typical American pattern. And for those of you all over the world, I'm sure it happens all over the world as well. I just can, with a high degree of certainty, say, actually, in Canada and America, it happens all the time. Every three, five, 7 years, people take all the equity out of their house, pay down their lifestyle, buy a bunch of stuff, remodel their house, and then they go again. So they basically live on the one asset called the house, and by the end of their life, they have no money. I mean, they're not worth anything because they stripped all the equity out of their house to live a lifestyle. I think that's a ridiculous model. I think the current financial planning models are ridiculous. They plan for you to get poor as you get old. I always say most of the models plan you for poverty. You know, so most models would say, if you make $100,000 now, let's plan for you to make $80,000. I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't plan on making less money as I get older. It's a completely a ridiculous thought. So our model says, let's take the money you have. So we met this family when they had $300,000 of equity in their house. And, of course, they were about ready to go through their refinance again and take the money, you know, take the $300,000, use $60,000 to pay down their debt. They have $60,000 debt. And I said, no, we're not doing that. That is such a ridiculous model. We're going to take $60,000, and we're going to go buy 10 cash flow houses. Now, 10 cash flow houses are houses like they actually went to Louisiana, but you can buy these in Alabama. You can buy them in Mississippi. You can buy them in northern New York. You can buy them in what we call cash flow markets. I have cash flow markets in Indiana. I have Arkansas, Ohio, about 12 different little markets that I have partners in where we go buy these little $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 houses, we rent them out, and we make about $200 a month in cash flow. So the $60,000 went to buy 10 houses, which gives them $200 a month per house, which is $2,000 a month. So they're in sheer panic. They said, we can't do that. Well, I said, you're going to do this. If you want to get wealthy, we can't do it your way. Your way for 25 years plus has never worked. So we're going to take $60,000, we're going to buy 10 houses, you're going to get cash flow. And with the cash flow, we'll take $500 every month and we'll pay down that debt. And if you want, you know, for some months we'll take $1,000 just to make you feel good that the debt's going away. But at the end of this program, then the debt's gone. They'll still have 10 houses. They'll still have the LLCs with all of the tax benefits. They'll still have the depreciation. They'll still have the $2,000. And they'll have had tenants help buy them 10 more assets in their life. If you did it the other way, which is what most financial planning people do, is they'll have you pay down that debt. If you, to recover $60,000, get this number, to recover the $60,000, which I think is the most ridiculous use of that money, is to pay down debt. Number one, when they pay down their debt, what do they have? They have nothing. In our model, you still got the houses and all the cash flows. So it's not really a difficult decision, it's just most people have never thought about it that way. And to replace $60,000 for those who have done that mistake in the past, let me just think about it this way. If you put $500 a month away to replace, now you paid, so say you paid the $60,000. Now you're trying to replace it. You put $500 a month away. That's $6,000 a year. That's 10 years. So in the old debt model, which unfortunately most financial people say that's the way to go still, it takes you 10 years to recover what you had. So most people never get right side up again. It's impossible to do it. So what we noticed after looking at a lot of people is that when you do the right thing at the right time, I call it sequencing. So when you do the right thing at the right time, you get the speed. And here's what the speed will do. It is number one, let's go make money. And number two, again, let's keep your money through better tax planning. And number three, let's get your money working. I call that what's called the wealth cycle. So you make money, you put it away, you put it to work, and it comes back in cash flow. That wealth cycle can start with your children. It doesn't matter how big it is. It's $10 a month, if it's $50 a month, if it's $100 a month. Even if you have debt, you've got to create a new pattern for money in your life. And again, the whole Millionaire Maker book is going to describe exactly how to create the wealth cycle. And again, during our next couple weeks, we're going to spend the time on the cash machine. We're going to go through a whole sequence and process for how do you build a cash machine in your life. And on the other side, how do you get your assets working? How in America, where the stock market's really been one of the only vehicles for the average American normal public, how do you take that and get your assets moving in a way that most people will never do in their whole life? Okay, so that's where we're going. A couple of the building blocks I want to talk about in, actually, Vic, you know what? Can we go live for a couple questions? I just want to make sure we're kind of sinking this all in. It's a ton of content I've just kind of poured down in 30 minutes. See if there's some questions, and then I'll go through a few more building blocks.
Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take it off of group mute. What I'm going to ask you to do, everyone will be instantly unmuted. There'll be a lot of noise on the line. If you'll star six, take yourself into individual mute so we can get some quiet for the questions. When you're ready to ask a question, simply hit star six again. That will unmute you. Go back and forth with star six. And then if you'll just say your first name and where you're calling from, and either Laurel or I, one will recognize you, you can ask your question. That way we keep it kind of orderly and quiet so we can hear the answer. So on 3, 2, 1.
Somebody have a question?
Laurel, what role does life insurance have in your plan?
Great question. What role does life insurance play? So I think all insurances play a role. And as you become more wealthy, there's a lot of sophisticated things you can do with insurance, including becoming self-insured. You know, self-insured through your own disability. There's a whole bunch of things that you can do. I think if you're just starting out and you don't have, you know, children and, you know, you're not planning for that whole life, you know, span thing yet, but you're just starting out solo and you don't have a lot of assets, don't have a lot of debt, I don't know that it has a role. So let's just go a little further into life. You just get married, and, you know, I think that you buy term and you invest the rest. You're hearing that probably from a lot of folks. So in the early stages, I buy term. I do a monthly, you know, really low-cost program. But it has at least enough insurance to cover, especially in a, you know, a relationship situation. Or, you know, if you what you don't want to do is leave a pile of debt to your family to have to handle. So have at least enough insurance to cover, you know, the mortgages or some payments, you know, what you have going on. If you've taken out SBA loans, say, to start a company, a business or something, you have enough insurance that at least things get covered and handled so you're not leaving, you know, a pile of debt behind you. As you get, you know, more wealth and more, you know, kids, more sophisticated, there's different sorts of, you know, life insurance policies, especially when you own corporations that, you know, can really protect you and the corporation and employees of the corporation for the rest of, you know, for quite a while. Like a lot of people who build big cash machines, for example, build businesses, you know, mistake a lot of them make is they don't get what we call key man, which is the main person, you know, being exited from the company would really create, you know, the company either having to go down or at least have enough money for them to continue to operate for, you know, 6 months to a year if you're going to take the company down. So I think there's a lot of roles, from E&O insurance to key man life insurance to, you know, trust insurance. There's all sorts of insurances that can go into trust. Just to get started, basic, I do term, invest the rest, and not do the universal policies too early. Because a lot of the long-term, those kind of policies, too early on, take a lot of your cash to fund, and you could make more cash flow. And ultimately, those policies are only going to pay 6, 7%. They're better done later in life, not earlier in life, and very strategically with corporate planning. So great question. And to that point, the way that we look at your whole life as you, you know, come into our coaching or mentoring program and we'll work with you is we do look at all those issues. I mean, we look kind of before you and after you, meaning, you know, if you have kids, you're going to have kids and leave money behind, what do you want to do and how do you want to do it? Hence the insurance. See, as you create a lot of money, if you're not insured right, because especially in the United States, as if you pass on and have a lot of assets, you sure don't want all those assets just to go get taxed. And there's lots of ways to pass on monies, you know, through insurance policies and different insurance programs. But we also want you to look in front of you, which is, are your parents handled? You know, I don't know how many people that we work with didn't plan on their mom and dad coming, you know, to live with them, for example. and or that they needed to take care of them, or that they needed long-term care. And they totally, you know, as a family, underestimated the cost. And I don't know how many people, just it topples their wealth because, you know, it's $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 a month for, you know, putting somebody into an assisted living situation that they weren't planning to do. So all of those situations we look at. I have clients who come. I have a client recently who's come, and they had a daughter who was born. She's 11 months old, and they've already had 11 heart surgeries, and, you know, $800,000 later, here they are. I mean, so totally unplanned events can topple your financial situation. So when we're working with you, I mean, all of that stuff gets disclosed. And if anybody says they're going to financially coach you and don't want that full disclosure, I would say they're coaching you on interesting ideas. I mean, our coaching model is very, very tactical. I mean, Vic, you could probably attest to it, too. I mean, we really probably go more tactical than any other financial company from the standpoint we want. I mean, we got to know your numbers. We can't just know hypothecation and just, you know, kind of fantasy out. And we got to know where you really are so we can really help you move on both sides of that. So I'm going to continue on because the background noise and it seems a little quiet out there. And we'll come back for some questions. So jot some questions down because we'll come back to some in a little bit. The couple of the building blocks that I want to talk about is because right now we've gone through your gap analysis and your baseline and your freedom day and the need for a cash machine, a way to make more money. So I want you to be thinking about that. And I said we'll get to your assets. But a couple of the building blocks that are crucial as we set a new foundation for you to become a millionaire and or more, so some of you on the call, we can double that quickly, is what we call incorporation strategies and tax strategies. So there's two tax systems in the United States. Actually, there's two tax systems all over the world. The problem is most people are never taught about them. What we're taught is to go, you know, work hard and get good grades and get a good job and that our companies, you know, all over the world will take care of us. Well, that's not true, and it's not true anywhere in the world. And given, you know, the war, you know, wars, the global unrest, the outsourcing of, you know, American jobs to all sorts of different countries, what I call the environmental stuff that's going on from, and there's more natural disasters occurring at a warp speed rate than ever before in the history of the world, from fires that are knocking out peer cities to Katrina, who knocked out, you know, a very large city here in the United States, to hurricanes, to tsunamis in Sri Lanka, and I mean, in the Philippines. I mean, just all over the world are extraordinary natural disasters that we've never, as a, you know, as a global community, ever had to plan for. So the industrial age model of let's go get a job and, you know, sit tightly in our local close community, those days are over. In fact, we're so far into the information age. Somebody told me recently that we're in the, actually heading into what they call the bypass age, which I thought was interesting thought about where we're headed. But I just say currently we're still in the information age. But the problem is our financial situation, the way that we learn financial things, is very industrialized, meaning the way insurance is handled is very industrialized. You know, it's planning you to be a W-2 worker. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but here's the and I will point to what I think the threat is. They're planning for you to get old, you know, older and poorer. They're planning for you to live on budgets. They're planning for you to refinance your house so you can pay down debt. Like, none of the financial models that are available currently that most people are taught are ever designed, I don't see, to create any sort of financial freedom. The information age models that, you know, we're designing through the Millionaire Maker and, you know, a few of our other colleagues are doing it, is really focusing you on the leadership. I had a 74-year-old woman in the last couple of days in one of my mentoring programs, and she was so cute. You know, she said, finally, there's a path out. You know, she's worth a couple million dollars, but, you know, her financial planners are charging huge commissions to take care of her money, doing a horrible job. Her whole portfolio is barely making 4%. And she was so cute. She said, I'm firing them all, and it's time for me to take some leadership. And that's really what our whole message is. It's time for you to learn. It's time for you to lead. It's time for you to understand what true investments really look like. It's time for you to take more control and responsibility for you and your family on where your financial future is going. Most people are living into their 80s and 90s, not into their 60s. So the old industrial model of planning for you to die in your 60s, early 70s is not working because now we have people living 20, 30 years more and they're not financially set for it. I mean, I look at baby boomers' portfolio, and I mean, if I had those portfolios, I'd be in a sheer panic. I wonder, how am I going to do my life and passing anything on to my family? So our whole process is, let's get you a millionaire plus, plus, plus in 3 to 5 years and set you up for the rest of your life. So, again, two tax systems, back to learning, you know, the information age model, which is more learning, more leadership. In the current tax system, what we're currently taught as you get the good job is that, you know, you're going to make some money, and then you're going to give a whole bunch to the government in taxes, and then you're going to spend what's left. And that number keeps going up, and your number taking home goes down, which is why the poor get poorer. A whole different conversation happens on the wealthy side, so the which is you earn money, and you earn it through legal corporation and corporate structures, and then you spend what's left. So the difference is earning, getting taxed, and spending versus earning, spending, and tax. Now, the difference is huge. The first model would suggest that maybe 10 to 13 pages of the tax code are ever used. The model that we want you to start learning about, and this is all over the world, everybody has two tax systems, is there's 60, for example, in the United States, there's 66,000 pages of a tax code. So why is it that just large corporations have been using that tax code? Any American can do it. Any Canadian can come to America and do it. Any Canadian can do it. I mean, I have Canadian, I have Mexican, I have South America, I have people in the UK, I have people in France, I have people in the South Pacific, I have people in Australia. The principles are the same. So the rich aren't getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, because we're not even in the same conversation. We're not even playing the same tax system. The rules to each other don't even apply. And it's so interesting to hear the politicians all over the world talk about, you know, the spread is getting bigger. Well, it's really not even possible that it can get bigger, because we're not even playing by the same rules. So our goal for you is to start playing in a structure where the money you do make, you retain. Now, I heard one of my teacher clients that just came in too this week, she said, well, I have to stay for the $60,000 job in my benefits. I mean, you don't understand, I have to have my benefits. And I said, and tomorrow they could cut your benefits, so really how secure is it? Because for you to only have, I'm not saying to quit your job, but for you to only have your job as the only source of any security in your life, I think is the riskiest proposition you could ever ask for in today's economy. I think having your job and having an additional cash machine, another way to make money, becoming smarter in the way you invest, is the way you have to start learning and leading. So again, next week we're going to talk through your cash machine. So let me give you some homework, in addition to, you know, tonight's call, just to get set up, which is your gap analysis, your baseline, your freedom day. I want you to think about how you want to make some money. What's your skill set? So I don't want to know what you want to do, I want to know what you do do. So come to the next week's call with, what is it you do now to make money? What's your skill set? Are you an IT specialist? How are you paid? Are you a nurse? Are you an engineer? How does someone pay you, regardless if you have a company around it? But how, you know, you get paid by somebody to do something. So how are you paid? What's the skill set that they're paying you to have? And we're going to explore a whole five-step sequencing model of how to take that skill set and make an additional $50, $100, $150, $200 million, whatever your goal is, in a year. And it's very doable. And I know a lot of people on the call say, oh, come on. You know, I've never made more than X dollars. And I would say the only reason you haven't made the kind of money you want is because you've never been taught. It's very teachable to teach people how to make money. In fact, one of my goals as we continue to do this work is that we get third graders in a learn-to-earn class. We get fourth graders learning some tax. We get fifth graders learning about corporation, and sixth graders, you can start teaching them to invest. They're the easiest ones to teach. I mean, I have a little six-year-old, he's almost seven, and he loves laundry mats. I mean, he thinks that, you know, we took some of his wealth account money, we went and bought a laundry mat. He knows exactly, I mean, we own it, people put quarters in, we get the quarters out of the machine, he owns some real estate. So, I mean, I have a walking example of how do you create a wealthy-minded child that actually can live in the information age around money. So for those of you who do have businesses, let me go there for a moment, your homework, right? Because you have your gap analysis, you have your baseline, your freedom day. If you have a company, I want you to look at your income and expenses from a different way. I want you to divide them out. What should really be business and what should be personal? And are you incorporated? And if you're not incorporated, you're not using full advantage of a tax code that could actually keep you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars home. I have a dentist recently who was not incorporated, and in a 30-minute session, we saved him over $128,000 of taxes, of which then became investable money. So if someone's told you in the past you don't make enough money to be incorporated, I would challenge that. I'll challenge that more next week and tell you why getting incorporated early in your cash machine business is absolutely critical. So those are a few more homeworks to start thinking about. The last one I want to give you is what I call a wealth account, which, you know, savings accounts are interesting, not as helpful, but in a wealth account situation, what you're doing is as you make money, whether it's a job or your business cash machine, you start putting money away every month. So what I'd like you to do even right now is write down how much money every month are you willing to put away to start building a pile of money that, you know, for $5,000-$6,000 you can buy your first cash flow house. So, you know, you can do a promissory note. You can do, you know, a contribution with a group, small group of people into maybe buying a little apartment complex. So you've got to get a wealth account, and a wealth account specifically designated for you to get supported to buy new assets. So that's plenty of homework. Vic, do you want to go live for a few more questions?
Yeah, let's see if we can do that. That's a question for Laurel.
Laurel, this is Steve in San Diego.
Hi, Steve.
Good. Hey, how ambitious should your cash machine be?
Oh, great question. So I think it should be extremely ambitious. So here's what I mean by that, is to build a cash machine less than $100,000 a year is an enormous amount of work. And here's why. Especially in San Diego. At minimum, it probably costs you $50,000-$60,000 to live. So that first $50,000-$60,000 goes to replacement of, you know, your job or your, you know, life. Then if you want marketing, you know, dollars for your company, which if you don't have marketing dollars, it's hard to build your cash machine. And then if you want an assistant in bookkeeping and, like, you know, we always say, and you'll learn more about this next week, which is the highest best use of your time is about 3 to 5 activities that you do over and over and over that make you an enormous amount of money. The biggest mistake people make is they try to do everything on their own. They're too much of a lone ranger. So anything less than $100,000 is, I think, a really painful size company. So I think at minimum, I always shoot for, let's go to, you know, $8,000-$10,000 a month as a starting point, and let's build a business. I mean, there's no reason you can't do it. I know a lot of people in psychology say, well, you know, Vic can do it, Laurel can do it, and Bob Foster can do it, and Carl can do it, but why can't you do it too? Is none of my thinking. So let's go for it. Is that ambitious?
Laurel, this is Neela Ashkarian. Could you please elaborate us a little bit on gas and oil investment?
Yes, I'll do that a lot more. I'll give you kind of just some quick notes now, and then in the not next week, the next week call, we're going to talk about all of those asset classes. The four asset classes we will talk about is real estate, buying private businesses, gas and oil, and then notes and alternative IRA uses and stuff like that. But gas and oil traditionally by Wall Street has been like the riskiest investment. And the reason it is that most people, the way they do it privately, not the Chevron and the Shells and the Exxon stocks, but private money, is that you put some money in, you have to have a lot of money to start. Usually you have to have $100,000 or plus into one deal. And that if the deal hits, you get money. If you don't, you lose it all. So that's why Wall Street in this traditional form has shown to be one of the riskier investments. Well, there are companies, and through an enormous amount of research, it took me 4 years to find this company. When you put money in, you can put as low as $10,000 in, you can buy 10 wells. In fact, if you don't buy 10, they won't let you play. So knowing that you bought 10, and maybe, you know, 3 or 4 don't hit, you still make money in what's called a blended return. So across all 10, given even if you don't hit, those 6 will still cover the losses of the other ones, but you don't lose all your money. So we're just doing things in a very risk-adjusted way, in a very smart way, that you aren't going to run out and lose your money. So when we say gas and oil, it's like, I mean, real estate. You own the wellhead, like those little wellheads that go up and down. I mean, you actually own it like real estate. Very different than owning stock in the market. You have a lot more control and a lot more money and a lot more tax benefits. So we'll go into that in a little more detail in a couple weeks, okay? Does that help, though, just give you a sense of it?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Laurel.
Great. Thank you.
Helen, this is Maria in New York.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Good. Great. Thank you. What do you say to someone who wants to take advantage of your advice but is not working, doesn't have income, and was considering taking a home equity loan to sort of bridge till she gets work?
Well, I would say that if you don't get our help, who's going to help you? Because you've got to get help, and you've got to get some guidance of somebody, you know, who's been there before you, right? I would look at two things. One, before you get a job, I would just explore cash machines. So, you know, what can you do immediately to start making some more money? And what we find is just because we're not oriented psychologically that way of what can you do to, you know, accelerate your skill set, most people just run and get a job. So again, I'm not saying don't do that, but, you know, come back next week and let's keep exploring, and we'll talk more about our services and how we can help you get that all figured out.
Okay.
You can't keep living on your savings. It's only going to last so long.
That's right, and I was considering taking a home equity loan, but after hearing what you just said, that may not be the best avenue.
Well, with a good plan, it's actually, we do that sometimes. Mm. We do that sometimes, but we don't want to do that just casually just so you can live it away. We've got to do it so you're actually replacing it and putting it back.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Do that with the plan. All right, who else has some questions? Good questions now.
Laurel?
Yes.
This is Honey.
Hi there.
And to kind of go off the last lady's conversation, I've been there and I've done that, and it hasn't worked. And
I would ask who your team is and what kind of support you had.
I'm sorry, Honey?
But also ask what kind of team you had, what kind of experts around you did you have?
No. I'm talking about what she was thinking about doing, getting the home equity loan out and using her savings in that. And when it's gone, it's gone.
Absolutely.
And see, I didn't have the resources. I didn't know about you. I didn't, you know, it was like I'm from the old school, you know, you work harder, pay off debt, but how do you pay off debt when you keep going in the hole every month and then you keep getting farther in debt?
Right.
And I just feel blessed that, you know, I'm finally, you know, getting a handle on there's help out there.
Yep.
And but how do you say, in instance, you know, somebody that wants to mentor with you or whatever, like this lady and or like myself, and we don't have the extra cash flow, you know, what help is there?
Well, I mean, one thing you have, I mean, right now is you've got 3 weeks of, I mean, what?
You, that's
well,
right.
Yeah, you have lots of support. See, I think the old model of doing it and living off of it and hoping something's going to come along, you're right, it's absolutely risky and don't do it. So like I told her, with the right plan towards making more money, And I'm talking real money. I'm not talking all the fantasy of building, you know, a global organization.
No.
I mean, come on, let's just make some cash. Kind of like the whole yesterday with the scrapbooking business. You know, I've had, you know, a lot of what I call fantasy island plans, and you're going to find us to be very practical, very tactical. And, you know, even if the woman yesterday would say, well, I don't want to do scrapbooks, I would say I frankly don't care. It's all you know how to do to make money. I mean, you and I are starting to see very my candid, bold approach. Like I was saying, there's a woman who was 10 years stay-home mom, has 4 kids, got a divorce. And coincidentally, I mean, this is a different woman in Southern California, but she was scrapbooking for hobbies, you know, for neighbor people in her basement. And, you know, less than 8 months later now, she's made, I think, over 60, I think last time I checked in with her, she made about $68,000. And, you know, she's not doing all the work, so that's part of the planning process. I said, your biggest mistake is you go to get the jobs and you do all the work. You're going to go to high schools and to your local college, the art department, to get a whole bunch of kids you can pay, you know, teenage, you know, college-age students that can pay you some money. You know, you're going to pay them, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 bucks an hour, and you go get the gigs. Like, you've got to make more money. I mean, it's just not an option. You've got to make some more money. And so we're going to talk about those kind of things. Now, that might not be forever her business or their business or your business, whatever you know you decide to do next week. But it's going to help you get the cash flow started so you start making the money, which then, you know, that affords you the time to really, you know, hire a millionaire coach and I'll come mentor with me, and then we just go to the next level. But you've got to get some money in the door. I mean, it's just part, you know, leading further into debt with no plan never works.
Fantastic. Well, on that note, we're going to close it up for tonight. Laurel, thanks a lot. We're looking forward to next week, and we'll see everyone next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific.
All right. Thanks. Good night, everyone.
Thanks.